You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lou Need Lewis, and today, it's an honor, it's a privilege to introduce a very special man to the show, Bob Doyle. He is actually best known for his featured in the film and the book, The Secret. You guys have heard of The Secret and seen it. You can manifest anything you want. And he was in the book and in the movie, but he now focuses his coaching and training on neuroplasticity and the ability to rewire your brain. It is right up the alley with habit rewiring. So it's literally, how do you become the person who creates the results that you want? Because you have to become that individual. And so now, with no further ado, Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I love being here. This is a great topic.
I'm excited to have you on board. And I'm looking forward to learning from you about the neuroplasticity, the brain in general, and how we can hack it and how it works. But before we dive into that, tell us about your journey so far.
Well, so as you said, I'm best known for my work with the film and book, The Secret, which basically means I've been teaching law of attraction principles for 20 years. So life by design and all those things you said, manifesting what you want. But after 20 years of doing this, and especially after The Secret came out, because what happened then was everybody got into the law of attraction business. So people who just sort of were excited by the film were putting out courses on it. And they were oversimplifying everything. And it kind of created this sort of magical, like, this is magic somehow. And like, all I got to do is do everything right and magic will occur. And that I've spent the last however many, whatever, 12 something years untangling that. And I got into this conversation because of my practical approach to the law of attraction, using as much science as was available. And, you know, no asking people to take blind leaps of faith. However, because the law of attraction is still sort of this invisible thing and it's got a lot of woo-woo association, what I found was that I was spending so much time trying to get people to get the law of attraction and answering ridiculous questions like, can I grow 2 more inches? And, you know, like seriously, nothing at all to do with manifesting a life you love, just really testing it. Like, well, what about this? What about this? And that just became exhausting and it wasn't helping anybody, you know? So I just sort of had this, I mean, several things led up to this, but I came to the realization that really transformation happens for anybody if and only if, the brain actually changes, like the actual wiring, the neuroplasticity, neural pathways change so that a person can make different meaning out of a situation and thus make different choices, get different results. So just exactly like you said, the job here is not to try to shoot law of attraction rays at the universe, but to work on this. Who is this person that is going to attract the future that we want? So to me, this is a much more, number one, it's a lot easier to get the point across that our brain can change. Like I could spend weeks explaining the ins and outs of vibration and just, but there's no point. All we really need to know is that our brain can change. That's really all we need to know. So I don't spend a ton of time on brain science and all of those other things, because you know what? That's everywhere. My job is to facilitate transformation. And if a person knows that their brain can change, then it's like, okay, how do we change it? And that's the work I do.
Yeah, that's phenomenal work, because the neural pathways, right, all created with the different habits, different triggers, because the brain learns and relearns, because its job is to automate your processes so it's easier for you to solve better problems. It's easier for you to solve your problems. So I love that this is the focus on how to rewire the brain, because I have a program called Habits Rewired, because I cannot help you change your habits if your brain is not reprogrammed to actually execute on them. What he says, you can't solve the problems with the same mind that you used to create them.
Right. And look, it's the thing is that people just need to, this is so simple. This is how we learn everything and have learned everything. It's always repetition. Yeah. always. The consistency, repetition, and then that's driven by emotion sometimes. It's like we have a very strong intention to learn a new language or to walk or whatever. Like it's non-negotiable. This is what we're going to do. This is who we're going to be. So we do it and we make as many mistakes as we need to make. We fall down. We hurt ourselves. We get things wrong. And that's just natural. And we don't think twice about it until it comes to personal transformation or manifesting something. Now it needs to be magical somehow. And it needs to happen in 3 to 7 days, like the guru said. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, if you're going to change your reality, you have to change how you're perceiving it and the actions you take and the meaning you make and all of that stuff. All of it was learned mostly on autopilot, the way we learn everything else, just consistent messages. So if you want to change, you're going to send new messages consistently, not 30 minutes a day, not in a 15-minute meditation, not by looking at a vision board for 20 minutes and going, yeah, I feel it. No, it's every, you have to learn to, if you're going to do this with intention, and you're going, like my goal, the whole reason that I'm doing this is to facilitate as rapid and efficient a transformation as possible. That takes a great deal of commitment from a person, you know, to be able to catch themselves when they're on autopilot and have a disempowering thought. And in that moment to choose something else, because our body is overtaken with chemistry that says, no, this is how it is. And I need to be mad. I need to be upset, right? Like we justify it because that's how we're wired. But the superpower here is to catch yourself and realize when you're on autopilot, the moment you have a disempowering thought, is to at least recognize that you are on autopilot, that this is not the truth.
Yeah.
It's just your wiring.
Yeah, because we operate out of that space 95% of the time of the day. 95% of the time we live there, that subconscious mind, that autopilot. And there's some bad programming there.
Lots of it, very limiting, and it's different for everybody, which is why this whole one size fits all, this just doesn't, how come they're manifesting and I'm not? We're doing the same things. Yeah. You might be both have a vision board. You might be doing lists. You might be both meditating, but your wiring is totally different.
Yeah.
You're looking at the lens. This wiring creates the lens through which you see the world. It is where your truth is defined. And by the way, it's just your truth.
Yeah.
It's not Cindy's truth or Matt's truth or anybody else's. It's yours. You may have agreement on some things because you were all similarly wired through whatever culture, upbringing, et cetera. But we see examples all the time of what happens when people are wired just a little differently in one particular area. And a person cannot understand how in the world can you think that way? It's so obviously this way, and it's the other way around.
Yeah.
So we get so caught up in trying to get everybody else to see our truth rather than just focusing on what do we want our truth to be? How do we want to feel empowered? If we consistently make negative meaning out of things and fight to justify that position, you can expect that to be your reality for as long as you want to cling to that. If you're not willing to look at learning to reframe something, to choose a different emotional response that hasn't, you know, when the one you are autopilot or wired with has not been serving you, you know, then you're not going to change. So you have to get, as a facilitator or a coach, you really got to get a person to see how this new them is non-negotiable. Not that it would be nice or things would be easier, but like non-negotiable. Like, why must you be this person? What are you going to attract? What's going to be possible for you that is something that you must do if you're going to live your purpose here on life? You got to get people ramped up that way, because otherwise the autopilot stuff will take over. It will, no matter how much you want something different. If you're not willing to stop and make different choices, then you're never going to program new neural pathways. So much of the work is getting people clear on, well, what are those other choices?
Yeah.
How do we know what action to take that's different than what we're taking now?
Yeah. Tell us about something you've had to change, how it has changed your life in particular, because I love to see it in practice.
I have, even despite and throughout my years of teaching this, I was wired at an early age to go negative, to expect the worst, to think the worst, to go down there first. Like that's the default. Yeah. Like what could go wrong with everything before going right? And as a result, I spent so much of my time in a state of worry, worry about something. Like if there wasn't anything to worry about, by God, I would find something. And I bet you there's people who know exactly what I'm talking about or know people who are like that. Like you just can't be content with it being okay. Like there's got to be a problem to solve. And that is a miserable way to live, but people just coast through it and not realize, you know, like this is just how it is, right? When you're living on autopilot, you just go, well, this is just how it is, but it can be different. And so when I had my own sort of realization that I do not have the luxury of dwelling on negative thinking, no matter how true it seems. And when I realized that the reason it seems true is because of my current wiring and because of the meaning I'm making. And when I realized that I can change that, because I've changed, we've all changed who we are. Like if this conversation isn't landing, you go, I don't know if I can change. Think about who you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15. I promise you, you've changed. Some core basic things about you have changed, but maybe they've changed intentionally, or maybe that you just got sucked along with society or whatever, but your wiring changed and therefore who you are changed. And therefore the results you're getting and your experience of life has changed.
Because we're creating our realities. Our thoughts are becoming thoughts become things. Napoleon Hill says it, right? We are really creating our external world.
Yes, but, well, I shouldn't say but, and you know, in the law of attraction conversation, people get stuck on that going, okay, well, I'm creating this energetic, I'm moving part. And all of that is true to an extent, but people just get all messed up with that. The reason that you're creating your reality is because you're creating yourself. You're creating how you're being in the world. The moment that you do something different out there in the world, say something different than anybody else expects, something that is more congruent with who you want to be than who you've been, the world has no choice but to respond differently because you're giving them different things to respond to.
Right.
And in that transition from who you are now to who you're going to be, things can get uncomfortable. And that's where people freak out. But growth and change is always uncomfortable. When you learn to walk, you fell down. When you learned a new language, you got things wrong. Everything, it's all discomfort with the growing. But people don't want to be uncomfortable with their growing. And in fact, if they're too far into the law of attraction conversation, as soon as they hit some sort of discomfort, they go, well, I guess the universe doesn't want it for me. And they bail. That's so prevalent and it makes me want to pull my hair out, which is why I've just said, I'm not going to focus on the law of attraction conversation anymore because I'm dealing with stuff like that constantly. Now, having said all that, I'm not anti-law of attraction or anything like that. I mean, it is running all the time. I mean, we both know it's a thing.
Yeah.
But we do not have to obsess on the ins and outs of it. We just don't, just like gravity. We don't sit there and go, I better understand this or my glass of water is going to float away. No, it just is. So you work within the rules of it, but it really is just so basic. It's just, who am I going to be? Because trust me, if you've got some grand vision of how you want things to be different, whether it's more money or another relationship or a better career, this person isn't going to have that. Because if they were, they'd have it now because they would have been being and acting and making meaning and getting those results. So you're going to have to change your core being. But the good news is you get to change that however you'd like. The other problem that people run into with when they're too into the woo-woo conversation is like, they got to figure out what they're supposed to be. What's my divine purpose? And they spend decades searching for that instead of just deciding. Who do I want to be? What's calling to me right now? What am I passionate about? What would I love doing every day? What are my natural gifts? Forget what you're supposed to do is what you want to do.
Right.
That's why you want to do it.
Right. And I'm taking it all in, right? Because as you're saying it, I'm processing everything you say. And I want to touch on expectancy, right? How to get into that state of expecting that thing to come to fruition. That belief, like thinking of it as if it's already happened. Because I grew up in a very religious background and, you know, people just rely on God will see me through, God will make it happen, but not taking ownership and actually executing themselves because faith without works is dead. You know, the whole spiel.
Sure.
And then you got to be in an expectance. You got to expect it to happen. And you expect it to come. And so I want you to dive into that a little bit more. Yep.
So expectation and attachment are very different things. And what happens is people are lumping, they're calling it the same thing. And people are getting attached to a specific outcome rather than expecting the best in the possible situation. So we can't, when we have a desire and we have like a vision of what we want to happen and what we want into our lives, the reason we want that is because we expect that it's going to give us a feeling, right? We're going to feel this way. We're going to feel happy. We're going to feel abundant. We're going to feel something if this happens. And so our brain, with all the information and knowledge we know, and the, you know, we construct a vision because we feel like that vision, if that was to happen, I'm going to feel this way. But the key, the goal, what you really want is to feel that way. And it shouldn't matter what it looks like. So when we expect to feel, to get the feeling, to get the experience of life we want, that's great, because then it can show up however, and we can use that vision to move us through into action. But if we attach and say, it must be that person, it must look like this, well, that may or may not actually be what's ultimately going to bring you that feeling. How many times has a person said, oh, they're the perfect person, if I could just be with them, my life, and then they get in there and they go, oh, this person isn't as perfect as I thought. Right. But if they attach, it's got to be that person. Then you get with that person, you realize, oh, there's a whole other side to this person that I did not know, that they weren't showing, because you attach. No, it, you miss all these other opportunities. So the expectation that the universe is working for you is the grand expectation to have, that this is all for me. But when you start attaching to details, we get into trouble, because we put blinders on to what the universe might be bringing you to actually, that this is what you need to really do to get to where you want to go. But that initial vision drives you into action. So you start taking action. You start acting in alignment with the person who would have that vision, but you need to be open to the reality that you don't know ultimately. Yeah. Like we're asking the universe, if you will, if you want to go down that road, for its divine intelligence. We have access to it, but that's not how our brain is working. So we can only do the best we can when we're creating our goals and our visions, to say, this is what's going to make us this way. So the expectation that the universe is working for us, that we will have that feeling, but we don't have attachment to how it must occur.
Because the attachment pinches the flow.
It does. But it's that whole, and again, when you're in that, if you're in the law of attraction conversation, you're talking about vibration. When you're in attachment mode, you're really present with the fact that you don't have it.
Yeah.
And that vibe is going to translate into action you take, words you say, all of it. And that is going to affect what happens out in the real world.
Yeah. Let's talk about words. Let's unpack that, right? The power of words and affirmation, and how when we focus on the lack, it does kind of direct the tone that we use, the type of words that we use. And that actually just deters. It just kind of moves us away from the objective, the goal.
That's right. And so see, that's a practical thing. Now, you can woo that conversation, go, well, I'm having these negative thoughts, or I'm an attachment, and so therefore I'm putting out all this resistant energy and pushing away off it. That's fine. And there's truth to that for sure, but we don't need to go there. It's very just logical to know that if you're in this lack mentality, or, you know, you're suspicious or you're cautious, you're not going to take the bold action that the person who has this stuff would take. You really need to get clear on the gap between who you're being now and who you need to be to have this scenario that you're creating in your mind, because this person won't logically fit into that if you're really honest with yourself. A version of it, but there's clearly some things, there's some aspects of you that are not being expressed in the physical so that the universe can respond, the people can respond, opportunities can show themselves.
How do we become?
Well, we need to first decide who that is, or at least have some idea. And like I said, the first thing I do is I have people assess, you know, what is it they want? What are the traits of that future person, mm-hmm. that they have that you're not probably expressing? Maybe it's integrity, like doing the things they say they're going to do, or taking better care of themselves, or not going negative every time they run into a situation. It's like they just need to assess, what are the behavioral differences, right, between who I'm being now and who I really need to be to have this life? And then you just have to start getting it out of your head and into your body. So part of the process, when I'm working with people, we have a whole program for this. And every day they start their day by looking, it's a sort of a meditative exercise, but they're looking at their day ahead and they're sort of formulating, what are the situations that I might run into today, knowing what's ahead of me? And of course, there's always surprises, but knowing what's ahead of me, is there a situation where I might be triggered to go back to my old disempowering way of thinking? Right? Like, am I getting into a job interview, or am I going to have a conversation with somebody that I don't really want to have? What are the ways that I might normally behave that I want to change? And you run it in your head. You rehearse it. Mm. This is the beauty of our imagination. And you hear it all the time about, you know, people can learn, they can practice piano in their head. They can actually develop a skill by just running it and running it and running it, because to the extent that you can really feel into it and really feel it, your subconscious doesn't know, right? So you're actually rewiring yourself without actually doing the thing if you do that. So, but now that you've run it in your head, you've rehearsed it. Now, when you run into that situation or something like it, you're not left with, oh my God, I'm in autopilot. What do I do? You go, I'm in autopilot and I know exactly what to do because I've rehearsed it and I know exactly how it's going to feel and all this. Now you do, you can't predict every little outcome, but you can at least be consistent with that person that you know you need to be. But until you move it into that physical, right, probably is not going to, you know, lock in, and you're not giving the world an opportunity to respond.
Yeah.
So it's just that whole rehearsal. And at the end of the day, what they do is they review their day that they just had and look at situations where maybe they didn't do such a great job at making a different choice and running in again. How would I have done it? Yeah. How would this ideal version of me have done it? And how does that feel? Like, really get into that feeling so that your body becomes invested in wiring it that way, because it feels so good.
Yeah. We see it a lot with athletes. Athletes picture the game. They see it happening. They see them winning. They see the winning shot or the winning punch. They actually visualize and feel it and be immersed in it to actually, when they go out, it's like, oh yeah, this is just like practice.
Yes. And that can be in any category, music, not just athletics. It can be anything, your way of being. This is how we learn. And we do have this amazing ability to get intentional about it. We don't have to learn on autopilot. We don't have to be wired on autopilot.
Yeah.
We have consciousness. We have the ability to be present and make choices and get excited about things and be inspired and create a vision and then just start doing it. We can do that. It doesn't take any special schooling. It isn't metaphysical necessarily. There's no woo-woo to understand. It's just our brain can program. It's programmed all the time by what we watch and listen to. And most of it is on auto, just unconscious. If we were to take more control over what we let in and be a little bit better at critical thinking, like, do I want this piece of information to make me feel this way? Does this information or what I'm hearing, do I need to let it have power over me? No, I do not.
Yeah. Dr. Joe Dispenza, am I saying his last name? You know him.
Dispenza, yes.
Dispenza, you work with him in The Secret. Did you work with him during
He was not in The Secret. He was not in The Secret. He chose not to be in that. And I don't, we've had like, I think one conversation on the phone, but I have great respect for his work. And if you really want to dig into all the particulars, I mean, he's a fantastic resource. I mean, this is what he's been doing for freaking ever. Right. But my role is for people who don't necessarily want to go down that whole rabbit hole and learn all that stuff, but just in fact, make it happen. Yeah. Like, so what I provide is an environment where people come in and from day one, they are doing what's necessary to change the wiring in their brain and they have the support and all the things. So 20 years, I've seen what is necessary for successful transformation. So what I've done is just create this environment where it's all in there, you know, all the tools you need for releasing, you know, emotional issues and things like that, but also just the daily consistent, here's what you do every day. And it becomes easier and easier and easier with time. And then we do coaching and all those things that you need to get that support, because a lot of people saw The Secret or whatever, and they saw that genie in the lamp and they just figure they're a one-man show wizard. And if they can't get it all manifested on their own, they think they failed. They think the law of attraction is a scam, whatever. That's just not how it works. That's an unrealistic expectation and in no way how this is supposed to work. There's 8 billion people on the planet for a reason. We're here to help each other.
Yeah.
You know, and we want to rely on others to help us grow so that we can then give the value that we have to others and help them grow along their path too. So if we hole up and just try and hide from the world and say, okay, I want to manifest everything like that, it's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah, you have to be open for the abundance to flow as well. And I love the piece you said, being consistent and doing it over and over again. It's not just 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there. You got to reprogram and reframe the person that you are. And I know one way to do it is with a morning routine, with the success principles, with putting habits in place. So let's jump right into yours. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Well, coffee is important to me. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice, fun little thing I give myself. But and seriously, to answer your question, just I do what I ask my students to do. And that is to open your eyes and you know, you can check in with where does your, because it used to be I'd wake up and immediately it was like, what the hell's going to go wrong today? You know, right. But now it's like, what am I going to create today? What, you know, what is ahead of me and all of that? I'm also a huge fan of breath work. like breath work, because it cleans out the brain and it helps you to get into that deep meditative state and just all of those things. Like I could just go on and on about the breath. So breath is a daily habit for sure. And getting into a particular state with my breath, and it's incorporated into our program and everything, because I feel like it is super, super important. It's a superpower that we all have that 95% of people do not understand what they've got at their disposal just by learning how to breathe in certain ways.
Oh yeah.
So that's an important part of just basic self-care and just taking care of your brain and your body and the whole thing. But I wake up early. I'm in the 4 to 5 a.m. range. And so I never feel super rushed when I wake up, which is good. You know, like I feel like I've got a jump start on everybody else.
Yep.
Right. When I get up at that. So I can sort of like in a relaxed way, I can enjoy my coffee. I do voiceover work too. So I'll look at what's there for me to do and just sort of assess, look at my calendar and just say, okay, this is my day, so that I'm just mentally prepared for it. And if I look at my day ahead and go, oh, well, this could be a tricky situation. This is an opportunity for me to go, who do I want to be in this? Mm. Who do I want to be in this? If this goes south, you know, what am I prepared to do? So really my basic early morning routine is just to prepare myself mentally and physically for the day ahead so that I'm clear on who I'm going to be in these situations. It eliminates a lot of the stress and worry and just questions a lot of people carry around. I think scheduling is a big help for me, like just knowing what. Because I do, if you're a person who does a bunch of things or is trying to manage a bunch of things, it's so easy to get into overwhelm. Mm-hmm. So if at the beginning of your day, you see that you have allotted time for all of those things, it's not just scattered when I get to it, but you know, from 4 to 5, I'm going to think about this or I'm going to work on this. And if I do that, then I'm going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
Right. So if you start your day with a list of items that if you get these done, you're going to feel great, then just do those things and everything else is a bonus.
Yeah. Time block. Eat your frog in the morning, right? Eat your biggest frog first.
Yeah. I wish I could say I always do that, but I don't. But
makes you human, just like me.
Yeah, that's right. Now, there's plenty of areas I procrastinate, so I'll eat that frog later. But yeah, ideally, you want to just get it out of there. But, you know, sometimes I'm better than other times.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it sounds like you're starting your morning routine the night before too, because you're planning ahead. You're looking at what you have coming up so that you're better prepared. I love that you said, this is coming up. This situation is coming up. Who do I need to be to better address that? Who do I need to become? And for you, you've been doing the work for years. And it's in that moment, it's that decision, right? That allows you to get in a frame of mind to show up. That's the show up piece of it.
Yeah, just we just have to remember that we're autopilot showing up without effort. Like how we're showing up now, good or bad, we're doing, if we're not doing this work intentionally, it's effortless. You just show up and you have your reaction. No big deal. What we want is for the empowered way to become autopilot and effortless. And that will happen when you wire yourself in that way. So I never thought I'd be free from that automatic going to worry. And what's the, I thought that's just in there. But it's not there anymore. It's like the level of freedom is huge, like the weight of not having to go negative first is huge. And I never thought I'd be free from that.
How long did it take?
That's a great question, because it just sort of eased up. You know, it was like I just realized one day, wow, I got this email that would normally trigger me like for days. And I may have a response, but it's like, okay, I can breathe. That's a great technique, you know, just to kind of change the physiology. But really, it's just a realization of, okay, this is just an autopilot. This is a wired response that I'm having. It's been proven for years that it does me no good. It doesn't help me in any way. It ruins my day. So I know that just letting this go, for example, or not giving this any more thought is an answer. It just depends. But I'd say between 6 months and a year, like it's not you know, instant. And that's the thing that people need to realize. You took your whole life wiring yourself this way on autopilot. Mm-hmm. Those wires are in there and they're going to fight for survival. So you got to be ready for that and just know that, yeah, sometimes it's going to feel challenging or difficult or maybe even impossible, but it's not. You just got to know that you feel like it's impossible because you're wired to think that it's impossible. But really, you can look out in the world and see that people are accomplishing amazing things and proving your truths about what's possible to be false. You know what I mean? It's like people with a lot less potential than you, a lot less resources than you can do amazing things. If they can, you can. It's just the only difference is wiring and the action they're taking as a result of that wiring.
Phenomenal. That is well put. The power of reprogramming the mind or the subconscious mind to actually get the freedom that you express. And that it doesn't happen overnight because it took you 30 plus years to build it. You know, because a lot of times that programming starts at an early age, from infancy.
Absolutely. The minute you pop out, you're getting input. Mm-hmm. And you have no ability to evaluate or assess it. You're just saying yes to everything. And the challenge and the stress and the worry comes in when you start to become a critical thinker and go, does this work for me? Mm-hmm. Does this make sense? Or if you don't, you know, you don't realize you could actually change, you go, wow, this is just how life is.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just how you've been taught. And so it's the lens you're looking through. But the freedom is that you can change that lens. But there's going to be, you're going to get new feedback when you try to change that. And so sometimes family members and friends and coworkers freak out and say, who are you to do this? They give you a hard time because now you're trampling on their wiring, right? Their expectations of you. And that's the, you know, the sad thing is that so many people literally sacrifice their lives with the lives they could have so that other people can be more comfortable. So they don't have to hear the opinions of their parents or feel like they disappointed somebody or, you know, get talked down to by people who are threatened by your bigger vision, right? And so many people get suppressed back into just living their lives for somebody else and never really getting to have theirs. And by the way, that doesn't serve them because those people are also living limited lives. And so nobody's living to their full potential. Nobody's living their lives. They're living a compromised life for a perception of comfort, where actually nobody's comfortable.
Yeah, you're dimming your light and you're doing the world a disservice. You're doing everyone around you a disservice. Yeah.
Particularly the people you think you're doing a service for.
Yeah, it's the worst. You can't live life that way. Not for very long. You will just become unhappy, unsatisfied. You wake up and
resentful. Resentful.
Yeah, you're resentful. You're bitter. Yeah, bitter as well. Yeah. Well put, Bob. This has been super insightful. And I love the rewiring piece of it. How to rewire your brain so that you can actually see the transformation. So tell us, Bob, how can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
Well, I'm all over the place. I'm super easy to find on Facebook and so on. My main website is meetbobdoyle.com. But what I'd really like people to do, because one of the things that helps with this whole rewiring effort is to know your starting point, like to recognize how you already process a transformation endeavor. And 20 years of doing this, I saw that people fell into sort of these four different types. So I created this quiz. It's real super simple and I made it up. But the point is it helps a person identify some of their behavioral traits that probably stop them when they take on personal transformation. And the value of knowing that is because now you can recognize it. Oh, I'm doing that thing. I'm doing that thing that's part of my personality type, which gives you that power to make a different choice. So this quiz is available at tptquiz.com. And it takes like 60 seconds, but that will get you connected with me as well. But more, it will tell you your starting point and it's dead on accurate. I promise you do it. You'll go, yep, he nailed it. This is the feedback I get consistently. And it's 20 years of doing it. It's not like, you know, but with that information, we also give you, here's what you can do to increase your odds of successful transformation, given that this is your type.
Yeah. So it's tptquiz.com,
like transformation personality type quiz. tptquiz.com. Yeah.
Excellent. Bob, it's been an honor. It's been a joy listening. Thank you so much for your insight and shedding light into this whole phenomenon of rewiring your brain, rewiring your habits, because once we first make our habits and then our habits make us, mm-hmm. then we get into that power of automation, but it's rewired. It's coming from a place of neural pathways per se.
Yeah, it's real science and practical, but the good news is, if you're a real fan of the law of attraction, when you do that, the law of attraction mm-hmm. just works. You don't have to obsess over it. You don't have to think about technique. You're just being consistently, and therefore your energy is consistent. You will attract the right resources, and you don't have to think twice about the law of attraction, just like you don't think about gravity.
Well put. Bob, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.